Matthew 4, 18 through 20, but we're going to go to Titus chapter 1, verses 7 through 11. That's where we're going to start. Hallelujah. It says in Titus chapter 1, 7 through 11, "For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayer. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake." Amen. Now go to Matthew 4. Matthew 4:18-20. "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.
All right.
And they straightway left their nets and followed him." I know this may sound like a strange title, but I'm not trying to be strange. I kind of am strange anyway, but shut up and fish.
All right.
Shut up and fish. Brother, if you will.
Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for truth. Help us in this place, Lord. Let your word fall on the fertile soil of our hearts. In Jesus' name, there we may be growing in our spirits and our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You can be seated. Shut up and fish. Their mouths must be stopped. And he called them fishers of men. Amen. I remember my wife used to teach at a Christian school. She taught kindergarten, maybe first grade, I don't know what it was. And it was an exchange for our daughter, amen, to go in her junior and senior year to this school that was in Denver. We weren't a member of that church, but she taught there. So you know how there's all the kids, the preacher's kids, and everybody's kids from church, and you got to kind of be careful answering questions they might ask. For me, I always say, go ask the pastor. So that takes care of it all, brother. Not always, but I get inside anyway. Sometimes. So the little child comes up to my wife one day and said, "He used the S word." Of course, she's thinking, man, she probably knew what the S word was. But she didn't know which S word. And they said, "He said the S word." And she was kind of a little bit, felt a little bit uneasy, and finally found out the S word was shut up. They weren't allowed to say shut up. Amen. Got another quick one. As a policeman or a game warden, amen, heard that this man was fishing and catching an awful lot of fish. And he was going to catch him and find out what he was doing. He had heard he'd been fishing with dynamite. And he throw the dynamite in the water to blow up, and all the fish would float to the top, and he'd scoop them up. Well, I guess that's illegal. So this game warden went with him, and he was going to catch him. And he got in there, and he said, "You know, that's illegal, and I'm going to arrest you." He gets a stick of dynamite, lights it, and hands it to the game warden, and says, "Shut up and fish." So there's a lot of voices in this world.
Right.
A lot of religious voices,
right.
A lot of ideas, and you think about people in the world, you think about how in the world are they supposed, amen, how are they supposed to get a hold of something when it's so confusing?
Right.
Amen, even in the apostolic ranks, Pentecostal ranks, there's all kinds of ideas.
Right.
I've been around a little while, I've heard all kinds of things.
Right.
I've had people call me and throw things out, and I'm going, really? And I don't want to offend them, but it just sounds so far out. And you've heard them too.
Right.
Especially if you're a minister. I bet, Brother Hunt, as you travel around, you heard all kinds of things. And you probably held your peace a lot of times because they weren't that bad off, but some of them really strange.
Yes.
First thing that's strange is a voice that's out there, and most of them even believe it is the Trinitarians.
Right.
Now, I'm getting to a point about fishing in a little while. Trinitarians, they believe in three persons and one God.
Right.
God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Amen. And the majority of the so-called Christian world believes that.
Right.
The guy across the street, Ray, he don't know no better. And he believes all that stuff. They believe once saved, always saved, and all the other things. And I'm not a meanie, but I'll tell you that ain't right.
Right.
Yes, that's right.
There was a man named, and I'm not so smart, I just read this on Google, so it's got to be right, right? A guy named Tertullian. There was a great controversy about this Trinity and the oneness thing.
Right.
So he was going to put an end to it and name a doctrine and keep it. And it was the Trinity doctrine. And there were still a lot of folks that didn't, amen, hold to that doctrine. But he was the one that yelled the loudest.
Right.
And he probably told everybody up, shut up and just go along with it.
Right.
Amen. Ignorance. No spirit-filled, amen, understanding. And the Bible has said they of Berea were more noble than they of Thessalonica because they sought to see if the things that Paul said was true.
Yes.
Sometimes we believe things just because of who's saying it.
Right.
I believe there's so many people that believe in R.W. Shamrock because he had great stories.
Right.
Amen. Or any of the other place. J. Vernon McGee. Amen. Prayer changes things. And all the rest of these guys, they just believe them. It's got to be right.
Yeah.
The guy across the street listens to Jimmy Swaggart.
Yeah.
That'd be fun, you know. But Jimmy Swaggart, he thinks Jimmy Swaggart is a cat's meow.
Right.
Amen. But they believe them just because of their name or what they are. They don't seek it out. The world doesn't know. In the world, amen, the world that's even seeking the Lord don't understand. Because they have not the Spirit of God. And they take advantage of good people. They take advantage of people that really want to know something about God.
Yes.
Right.
People that are brokenhearted, they've got needs, and they show up at the church, and somebody shows them some kindness, and really they're telling them untruths, and they hold on to it.
Right.
That's the dilemma we have today
in the
world that's not in the church.
Right.
Amen. I remember I was an altar boy when I was a kid. I went to the Catholic Church and the grade 1 through 8. So at some point I became an altar boy. And because they want you to remain in ignorance, it was in Latin.
Right.
And they taught us Latin, only the prayers. And I would not know what they were saying. Even if I knew a few things. But I didn't know what they were saying. I just watched the guy do this stuff and say, Chromiose, Colosse, Calorum, Ecum, Spirit, Tutu, O. And I used to say that's the Notre Dame score, you know. But I don't know what it meant, but that's what they did. You just mumbled when you couldn't remember what it was.
Right.
Yes. But they kept you in the dark. They didn't want you to read your Bible.
Right.
Because if God ever enlightened their mind and they saw what they were saying wasn't true.
Right.
Amen. Yep. They might lose a little hold on them.
Right.
They like to say, shut up. They like to say, shut up, close your mouth, and just follow me.
All right.
There's an old deal where a Pied Piper, they couldn't get rid of all the rats. That's an old, I don't know if you've ever read that, but it's an old child's story. And the Pied Piper played the pipe, whatever that thing, flew. And all the rats followed behind him, and they all went into the water and drowned. That's what they want us to do. Fall in a ditch. They want us to follow these things and listen to these things. But the Bible says their mouths need to be shut.
Right.
Because they're destroying anything. So when the things that we say about the Holy Ghost and about Jesus being the Lord God Almighty, they think it's strange.
Yeah.
But they don't think it's strange, Brother Nick, that there's three persons in one God. And they all agree. Do you know anybody that's three people that ever agree on anything? I don't.
No, no.
Only when they've passed away. So in Titus 1:9, I'm going to read that real quick. If I knew how to print these things, I'd do all right. I wouldn't have to stop for a moment. Titus 1:9, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayer. Faithful words and sound doctrine. 2 Timothy 2:14, study to show yourself approved. Amen. Hallelujah. The Word of God, the truth of God. Amen. Under God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Yes.
Amen. That means prove it. Not be suspicious of everything you hear, but prove it. Study it for yourself. There's people that just believe, and you ask them, why do you believe? They don't have a clue why they believe it.
Right.
I've heard so many things. I'm not being negative. I've heard so many things. I mean, they got all kinds of things out there. I'm going to name a few of them in a minute. Amen. But I remember Brother Jackson used to say, amen, he used to say, it just doesn't have the Jerusalem ring.
Right.
If you know the Lord enough, if you've prayed a lot, and if you felt the Spirit of God, you know when they say it, it's not His character.
Right.
It's not what He would be. It's not what He would say.
That's
it's
right.
Not who He is.
Right.
But the world doesn't know that.
Right.
I got a friend, and he lives in Greeley, Colorado. He calls me last night, or yesterday, and he's telling me all about this. Once saved, always saved. He's a oneness guy. He said, you know, if it didn't take, if you couldn't save yourself by works, though James said, I'll show you my faith by my works. Faith without works is dead. He said, if you didn't have, if you couldn't earn it, then you can't lose it. I thought to myself, well, what's this Bible for? What's all this training or this word of God in here to tell us how to be saved?
Yes.
Amen. I got another friend named Billy, good friend that is in Virginia, and he got offended. So he went to this monstrous church, an old assembly of God used to be. You know, over the years, he started believing what they said.
Yes,
what
right.
They said.
Yes.
And his whole family went off the deep end. Amen. Ridiculous teaching that they believe in. Amen. There's also one called, that in the oneness ranks, it's called preterism. I don't know if you ever heard it, but I've heard a lot of folks talk about they went to this church and they went to that church. I'm going to read you what it is. It's really short. Here's what preterism is, and this is in the oneness church. Full preterism teaches that all biblical prophecy has been fulfilled, including the second coming of Christ, Satan and the Antichrist being thrown into the lake of fire, the resurrection of the dead, and the full arrival of the kingdom of God. Think about all the voices, even the oneness voices. There's another teaching out there. It's about a man named, William Branham. You ever heard of him? Indiana, Jefferson City, Indiana, or whatever. William Branham. Amen. He teaches the serpent seed doctrine.
Right.
And it's a oneness thing. There's a lot of oneness so-called churches that believe this because
right.
He was oneness.
Right.
Amen. He believes that if you're either born lost or you're born saved.
Yeah.
He believes that Eve had relations with a snake and therefore that seed of that snake is just bound for hell. My whole point is, when you think about the world, the religious world, and folks that want to know an answer and all that, look at all the places, amen, that they're traveling in and how hard it might be for them to understand. 1 Timothy 6:5 talks about a prosperity message. You've heard them. Dig deep into the cookie jar. Daniel, just dig deep in your cookie jar. Get some money out. And they're flying around in jets and all these kind of things.
Right.
Says perverse disputings of men, of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such, withdraw yourself. Big houses, fancy cars, jets, expensive clothes. Jesus' followers would, amen, be excluded from this.
Right.
1 Timothy 3:3 talks about brawlers, not given to wine, no strikers. Not greedy, a filthy lucre, but patient, not brawlers. not a bully. Proverbs 15:1 says, harsh words stir up anger, not lure people to God. Amen. Amen. And you know what? I've seen it. That people love that.
Right.
They admire that.
Right.
You know, they don't see a preacher. They see Clint Eastwood up here.
Yeah.
They see, who's that big old Austrian guy? What's his name?
Arnold.
Yeah, that guy. See? Anyway. Oh, Arnold. They see him up here. And they say, man, he tore it up. He tore it until they tear you up.
Right.
I brought somebody to church one time, Brother Texter. I tried these two ladies, older ladies. I tried real hard to get them to come. And I finally got them in the car. We drove all the way up to Ocala to go to church. When we got there, the first thing that happened was this guy started preaching, talking about things that they were doing, like Christmas or something. And they kept beating them. Kept beating them. Kept beating until they got up and walked out.
Right.
They probably never went into a church again because of people that are brawlers.
Yes.
Amen. You know them, and I know them.
Yes.
Amen. But I'd say, shut up, or God will shut you up.
Right.
Not us. We're perfect. But I'm talking about someone that's perfect. I've seen it over and over. God is not impressed with your harsh words or anger.
Yes.
Right.
He's not interested in your demonstration of power.
Right.
He's interested in His.
Yeah. Right.
That takes too much effort, I think, for some of people. Too much effort, amen, for God to manifest Himself in power through us.
All right.
Because you got to pray a little bit.
Right.
You got to be a little considerate.
Right.
Amen. You got to, amen, think before you speak.
Yes.
And you know, you'd say, well, Brother Skinner, don't you believe in anything that's difficult? Amen. I do. I know about the goodness and severity of God.
Yes.
I know about, amen, that the right, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the sinner and ungodly appear? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Right.
Amen. Without holiness, no man shall see God.
Lord.
Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering. I believe all of that. I know it's good.
Yes.
I'm not saying that there shouldn't be any of that. Amen. But I'm telling you, amen, that you can walk in the Spirit when you're dealing with somebody in the world. And remember, they're in a mess. They're in a lot of confusion, right. Smoke and mirrors and everything else, and the devil fighting and trying to keep them from hearing anything you got to say because somebody else said something different.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen. I might go back to the title, Shut Up and Fish. My dad used to say, when we go fishing, I don't know if you've ever seen this with little kids, he said, be quiet. Shut up. We'll scare the fish away.
Right.
Of course, we went to fish, but we went to play too. Amen. My dad would say that. And when you think about it, amen. You scare the fish away. It's true. You be loud. You be unruly. And you'll never catch a thing. We're trying to catch souls. We're trying to be fishers of men.
Right.
Amen. And how many of you know that everybody thinks that painting and fishing is easy?
Right.
Anybody can paint. I'm going to be painting my trailer. But I know that. I'll get more paint on me, or as much as I will on the trailer. Don't care what I put down on the ground to catch the drips, there'll still be some. And I'll walk up and I'll have it on my face and my wife goes, you got paint on you.
Yeah.
And I'll hand her a brush and see if she can do it. No, I won't say anything. Fishing's the same thing. Out by where I'm at, that lake, you can fish there, but you can get tangled in the weeds. So they got these lures that you can put it inside so it doesn't get tangled. Amen. A lure is to, obviously, lure
right. And
attract fish.
Yeah.
Right.
So they'll come in. There are all kinds of lures. I don't know about them. I fish, but it's just real basic fishing. Hopefully one will just jump on there, and that'll be good. But I'm telling you, it's an art. It's a skill. And it's the same thing with people.
Right.
It's hard, amen, amen, to deal with people and try to be slick about it and lure them. Amen.
Yes.
I thought about this. We want to attract their attention, not drive them away. I was looking up animals, how they attract females. And a cardinal. You ever look at a cardinal? No offense, ladies, but a cardinal is a beautiful bird.
Yeah. Right.
The female bird's kind of dullish. No offense. But the cardinal is real red. One gets near my bird feeder sometimes, but only on the ground. I don't think he can land on it. But I look at him and I think, he's there and he's beautiful, and it's to attract, it's to lure a female. Birds sing because they're trying to attract a mate. Amen. Here's some good ones. A jumping spider. He jumps and dances, and he's doing it to attract a male. A lizard. You ever watch lizards do push-ups? Do a push-up?
Right.
I read words to attract a female. Right. To lure one. You say, what's this got to do with the metric? Just hold on. Because I'm getting to the squids now.
Right.
You know what the Marines used to call Navy guys? A lower form of marine life, squids. All right. Supposed to laugh at that, but we'll move on. But the squids, they'll follow a female around and wiggle and change colors, trying to get them to take a look at them. Amen. And then the frog. Brother Vince, the frog. The frog croaks.
Right.
I thought they were just making noise, but sometimes they're croaking. If we could listen to their language. They're calling out for some female somewhere.
Right.
A beautiful frog female. You know, when we get a chance, amen, to lure somebody, to talk to somebody, amen,
right.
To get a chance, God opens up a door.
Yes.
We need to make it count.
Right. Right. Right.
You know, gospel means the good news.
Right.
Not the bad news.
Right.
It's the good news.
Right.
I've grown into people when they get to witness somebody, they just throw the whole plan of salvation at them in one shot. And they're standing there and they don't understand, and they go, I hope you got it. Well, I hope they did too. But you only may get one chance. It's the good news. And you know what we want them to do? Be curious. And want what we got. You talk about the Holy Ghost? I remember when I came to the Lord. Sister Hunt, I came to the Lord and they told me all about Jesus and Him being God and all that. And I thought that was cool and all that, but I wasn't totally convinced. But when they told me, Brother Dan, there was this thing called the Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost.
And in their eyes, I could see that they had this flame in their eyes.
Right.
This, and they had even an assurance in their mind that I want that thing.
Right.
That thing. That's not a very good thing. But it's the Holy Ghost.
Right.
And I said, the Holy Ghost? What is that? It gets in you.
Yes.
It fills you. It changes your life.
Yeah, right.
I want that. I'm curious. I want that thing.
Right, yeah.
I want the Holy Ghost. And I can, amen, tell them that and have it in my heart, my eyes. And they see it. They look at you. I don't understand all about this oneness. But I understand something. I want that Holy Ghost.
Yeah. Right.
Can you clap your hands?
Yeah.
There's a man I know named Brother Gus Scour. Kind of reminds me of Elijah and Elisha. This guy is about 80-something. He just almost died a while back. He's almost died a few times. He's got all kinds of things wrong with him. But I'm telling you, if he gets near you and he looks at you, you believe everything he says. I've seen him at church. Our church, the first one I went to, he was responsible for about 90% of the people there. He's got this look. I mean, this guy looks like me and Brother Hunt and Brother Texter, except he's like twice.
Yes.
Doesn't matter what he looks like.
Right.
I watched him in church, and there was this family that you knew weren't in church before, and they're standing there, and he goes up, and they're singing and stuff. The next thing you know, he whispers something in the ear, and there's three of them, a dad and a mom and a child.
Yeah.
He got something about him.
Right, right.
Amen. It's kind of like you'd like to go up to him and say, would you give me your mantle when you go?
Yeah, right.
Could you bless me to make me like that?
Right.
I want that. I want that so deep that when I see somebody, when I feel it, I want them to look in my eyes and say, he really believes that. I want what he's got.
Right, right. Right.
Amen. I'm not too busy. The thing is, do we believe we have something?
Yeah.
Right.
Do we have something that's special? Do we think when we talk to them that they want it? Can we persuade them that they want it?
Right.
Are we filled with the Holy Ghost so much that it's buckling over and we feel like they might want to get a hold of it?
Yes.
Amen. We are ambassadors for the Lord.
That's right.
Peter and John were going into the temple in time of prayer, and there was a man there.
Right.
And he was lame from his mother's womb. Who knows how long he sat out there? I don't know how long he's been there. Maybe that was his spot.
Right.
And when they came by, maybe they passed him before. But this time, they looked at him. And he's looking at them. And something was happening in their eyes and in his. And they said, look on us. Look on us. And they said, silver and gold have I none. But listen to this. But such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ, arise and walk. And his feet and his ankle bones had strength. And he danced and he praised God. Because they had something that he needed. They had something that he wanted.
That's right.
Amen. It's what you got. It's what you got. Question. You might ask yourself, how much do I have of the real thing? We were talking the other day about the Coke commercials. It's the real thing. I believe we got the real thing. How about you?
Yeah. Right.
I believe we got the real thing. We've been baptized in Jesus' name. We've been filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Amen. We go to the house of God and sing the songs and know who we're singing to.
Yeah.
And feel the presence.
Yeah.
Of God. Hallelujah, Jesus. We're not pretending. We're not being just putting ourselves on display just to be here and just lifting our hands. We believe that Christ can be in you the hope of glory. That's the message. That's the message that we can tell them. We can tell them with confidence. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You want what I got. God's got an answer for your mess. God can make the difference for you. God can heal your body. God can change your life. He can make your family whole again. He can do it all. And I believe it. I believe it. See it in my eyes. Hear it in my voice. Tell him he's real. There's a real heaven.
Yes.
There's a real peace you can have that passes all understanding.
Yes,
there's a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. The Holy Ghost is real. Amen. I used to read a lot of books about revivals and things. And there was a man in the 1800s, an English, over in England. I assume he was English. But he made a pledge that he would witness to one person every day. You think, well, that ain't too hard. I thought I could try it one day. It's pretty hard to start running out of them. So this guy made that pledge. He was some guy that you might have heard of. I don't know. Can't think of his name. But he was fellowshipping, and it was getting close to midnight. And he was up in this place fellowshipping with some guys and some men in the 1800s. And it occurred to him that he had not witnessed to anybody that day. So he bursts out the door. And he runs out. There's not many people out there. This poor guy is standing there. And he grabs him and he says, tells him about the Lord. Probably scares him to death. But in his eyes, he meant business.
Right.
Some years later, he's at a conference or a meeting, and it's ministers and things. This man comes up to him, and this man says, "You remember me?" "No." He goes, "You ran out a door years ago in that courtyard. You grabbed a hold of me. You scared me to death, but you told me something. And now I'm a missionary." Can you clap your hands? We need to tell them that if we believe it, you can be delivered. There's real love that really exists. Please come. Please come. Please come and believe something's going to happen.
Yes.
Believe that they're going to be touched. Hallelujah. Believe it. Today I'm going to tell you something very unpopular. I went outside and I was talking to Ray from across the street, and there was a smell going across, floating around in the air. It's not like smoked barbecue. Just floating around. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was chicken or whatever it was. Amen. But you know what it was saying? Come and dine. That's what it was calling. Come and dine. I can't come anyway. No. Come in a few weeks or something. Come. That smell, it just, you know, you go by Burger King and smell that grease sometimes. I don't mind eating one of those. It's compelling you. That's what we need to do. Come on. And you know, there's no better way of compelling. It's when we really got it in our hearts.
Right. Yes.
When we ask God, put it in my heart. So when I talk to somebody and tell them, they believe me.
Right.
All the voices, they believe them.
Yes.
Why wouldn't they believe us if we got something?
Right. Right.
If we got something.
Yes, sir.
They believe Peter and John.
Right.
He believed Philip when he went out in the desert to a man that was a eunuch out on a chariot. He believed him out in the middle of nowhere. He goes, "Here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? If you believe it with all your heart, thou mayest." Out in the middle of the desert. You ever think of that? Out in the middle of the desert, there's enough water to baptize somebody.
Right.
I don't know much about deserts, but desert means it's dry.
Right. Yeah.
And then when he come up out of the water, my God, can you imagine? He disappeared.
Right.
He flew away somehow by the Spirit. He walked there. The Bible said go there, but he got away. How about an exciting life it is, amen, to be a witness for the Lord.
Yes.
You know, if somebody would ever come to this house of God, can you stand? When they come, it's my intention. Mine. I haven't done very good. But I'd sure like to bring a few people here. I like them to see it in my eyes. See it, feel it from my heart. That I'm telling you, if you'll come, God can make the difference.
Yes. Right.
Hallelujah.
And I like to get down here with them. And, you know, Ray was crying, lifting his hands.
Yes.
I don't know what he's going to do, but we talk about it all the time. I'd like to point and say, "You see that altar?
Right.
You can meet Jesus there.
Right, sir.
You get down that altar and you believe it, and I believe it. Let's go down to that altar.
Right.
Sit at the feet of Jesus.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, God will make a difference for you.
Right.
There's something for you there. Tell them they can be born again. They can have a new life. Have joy and life and peace. A new day for them. A new life. Just go. Just go and see what God